Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Christmas is coming and a new year is upon us. I hope you will visit us during our Christmas services beginning Sunday, December 16, by the way. Each service will be dedicated to Christmas through Wednesday, December the 26th. This Sunday a.m., why does the world hate Christmas? I mean, what's the issue there? And the reason will surprise you, by the way, but included in this message are some important tidbits about Christmas that you'll appreciate. Sunday p.m., the sword or the scepter. And then Wednesday, December 19, witnessing Christ's birth. That's an interesting twist on the shepherd's testimony. December 23, Sunday morning, the mysteries of Christmas. And then Sunday evening, what to bring the king. And there's some insight from the visit of the wise men you'll appreciate. Finally, we'll wrap up this season of Christmas messages on Wednesday, December 26, unwrapping his gifts. That's an interesting investigation into the spiritual gifts Jesus left with us. Okay, my friends, I hope to see you in church. All right, what is on the menu today? Well, Newsom has plans. No doubt he'll hit the floors of the governor's mansion running as fast as he can toward universal health care in California, oh my soul. And by universal, he has expressly stated he intends to include all who are here illegally. He's a very nice man with everyone else's money. But anyway, Trump is the most non-political politician America's ever seen, with the exception of our first president, George Washington. And we'll consider the current border crisis as an example. Fitting, since the left likes to connect illegal immigration to the nativity story of Joseph and Mary seeking asylum in Bethlehem and all of that. What about seeking asylum in his kingdom? What a thought. And speaking of the non-political Trump, he canceled the Christmas party for media. You know, he made no big deal about that. He didn't call a press conference to declare his decision. It's not a political decision with him. It's a personal one. I mean, why would any healthy, reasonable person of any common sense want to spend time with a group that, well, one, obviously hates you, and two, are rabid with a derangement syndrome that involves constantly lying about you and your family. So what does the media say about it? Well, it just goes to show that the Trumps are afraid of the media, right? Good night. Dealing with these people reminds me so much of typical high school drama. Hey, what is the number one complaint or accusation that unbelievers typically make against believers? And by the way, in this case, I'm using the word unbeliever to mean those who reject the testimony of the Bible regarding Christ Jesus, and believer to refer to those who accept the Bible's testimony regarding Jesus the Christ. All right. Christians, what charge do you hear most often leveled against Christianity by unbelievers and my non-believing listeners? And by the way, glad to have you in my audience. And I know you're there. I do get emails and calls from unbelievers from time to time. And most, by the way, say lights on. An atheist once emailed me and asked if I thought he could be an atheist and still be a lights on listener. He said, is that compatible? I said, of course. And I hope he keeps listening. But to all my unbelieving friends, what is the number one complaint you have against Christians or Christianity? Let's take a look at that in a moment. It's a race, my friends, Hillary's and Obama's devotees in what has come to be called the swamp are working furiously to keep Trump and his team distracted from the high crimes and misdemeanors of, Hillary Obama. They're trying to find a way to bring charges against Trump before his team can get focused on it and bring forth charges against them. And it's interesting to watch them race this thing. It's like watching a horse race. You know, when your horse keeps struggling against a competitor that plays dirty and is behind some distance and you're rooting them on to catch up. That's what it's like. Okay, let's see. Now, Trump, the non-political politician, the one thing people like least about Christians, and what makes that interesting to us in our show today, you'll have to wait for that. And then the race to or from justice, who will win? Will Hillary Obama get to their injustice before the American people get to their justice? And what does this have to do with Christmas anyway? My friends, It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
One of the things people like most about Trump is how real he is. He stands tall, warts and all, and just goes toe-to-toe with these politicians, and they're still trying to figure out how to handle him. So they just want to get rid of him. Now, Trump is the most non-political politician I've ever seen, and I would include Reagan in that. It seems to me the only American president that, to my mind, might have been less concerned about the politics of a decision would be George Washington. And I'm not talking about Bush there. Take the border crisis for an example. Trump wants a wall. He wants to stop the migration invasion that is gathering at our border. He is focused on that goal. The left is focused on stopping Trump from succeeding at anything that he has popularly declared he will do for the American people. For that reason, they are opposing him on funding the wall. Now watch. Trump is focused on fulfilling his promise to build the wall, so he's willing to make a compromise to get it done. And someone says, oh, there it is, politics as usual. Well, hold on to that thought for a moment. Trump wants the wall to protect our borders. By the way, I'm using the wall as a metonym for border security in general. I mean, it's the wall together with funding to increase border security and also some changes in laws that need to be done in order to enhance border security and all that. So we refer to it all together as the wall, okay, in this show. Now, the left actually does not object to the wall. Just go back over all the statements made by Obama, Schumer, Pelosi, all of them, Hillary, all of them. They have made strong statements about the need for border security, the importance that we stop illegal immigration, the unfairness of countenancing illegal immigration. In fact, as Lindsey Graham recently reminded us, as lately as February this year, 44 Democrats, including Schumer, voted to provide $25 billion to build the wall. And earlier in 2013, Schumer supported a bill to fund $8 billion for the wall and $42 billion for enhanced border security. These guys aren't against the wall, but they're trying to keep Trump's shoulders pinned to it. If you think about it, look, border security makes total sense to everybody, including the left. Okay, and border security is directly connected with national security. Porous borders are a threat to national security, and they all know that. Now, I understand that lefties like CNN's Jim Sciutto and his ilk, and one of many, by the way, who attacked President Trump's border security briefing that he had with Pelosi and Schumer recently. Sciutto shoots holes in Trump's statement about the caravan posing a national security risk, bragging about his fact-checking work that proves there is no terrorist threat at our borders. Sciutto is a former Obama staffer, by the way, I mean in the interest of full disclosure, so his take on this issue should not be surprising to anyone. He said in his snarky, sneering air, quote, in fact, DHS, referring to Department of Homeland Security, did not provide evidence of a single terrorist caught on the southern border over the last short period of time, as the president claimed. This is not the first time that the president implied that the wall is necessary due to the terror threat, end quote. Well, apparently, Mr. Sciutto did not consult the DHS. Tyler Holton, spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security, revealed that Sciutto never contacted them. Furthermore, he reported that, in fact, terrorists and criminals crossing our border is a real and serious threat. Mr. Holton tweeted, quote, we are happy to provide the facts, but you never reached out. In fact, DHS prevented 3,755 known or suspected terrorists from traveling to or entering the United States in fiscal year 17. That's in addition to 17,526 criminals, 1,019 gang members, and 3,028 special interest aliens, end quote. So where did Sciutto get his facts? Well, apparently he did not get them from the Department of Homeland Security. So we have lefties making up facts, and we have a gaggle of progs who were all for building the wall before they were against it. And here's the point. I fear liberals are going to feel the prick of this point. They're likely to squeal like stuck pigs, squealing and squawking. The noise from the left these days is deafening. Now, you look, you see, Trump wants the wall, and the reason is patriotic. He wants to protect America, you know, make America great again, and all that. The left is opposing the wall, and the reason they are opposing the wall is not because they oppose the wall. It's because they oppose Trump. It's political. It's about stopping Trump, a political opponent. It's not for the good of the country. It's not about protection of our borders, the protection of our country. It's about politics. This crowd doesn't want Trump to succeed at delivering on his promise so that they can beat him politically. That's all this is for them. They were for building the wall back in February and back in 2013 and back in 2008, by the way, when Obama was running for president. And we could go on back beyond that. And I'm sure you get the point. So Trump is willing to compromise and give the Dems something they said in the past that they wanted, a path to citizenship for the so-called Dreamers, the DACA deal. And no, that is not politics as usual. I might say it's statesmanship. You know, I have said almost from the beginning of my long-running commentary on immigration issues here in America, going all the way back to Reagan, by the way, when I complained about his policy, the American people would have been more than willing to do some very generous deal on immigration, those who are here now illegally, if only the government would stop the bleeding, get the border under control. Well, over time, it changed. Till now, people are so fed up with this, they just want to ship them all home. Because, you know, deal after deal was broken. Beginning with the Democrats, reneging, by the way, on Reagan's concession on illegal immigration back in his day. The people have gotten weary of this and tired of the lies. So now, it's much more difficult to get any kind of a deal for the Dreamers. But Trump is willing to put that on the table because he wants the wall. Now, whether you agree on that issue, the DACA deal, and I'll address that again. I have addressed it several times. My point is that Trump is behaving like a good businessman, trying to negotiate the best deal he can for America, for America's interests. But what are the lefties doing? They are refusing to cooperate no matter what. They'll even throw DACA under the bus. Only one thing matters to these people, defeating Trump. See, for them, it's about Trump. For Trump, it's about America. So Trump is the patriot in this situation, and Pelosi, Schumer, Hillary et al., they are the partisans. It's like Graham said, responding to the comment that Pelosi can't support the wall because politically she needs the support in order to become Speaker in January, and so she can't even appear to be cooperating with Trump, right? Well, Graham said in response to that, Pelosi has a political problem, but America has a national security problem, and he's right on. And that's where it's at, folks. The progressives these days are blind partisans, totally political. It's all about Trump, 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 Trump. Trump is the most non-political patriot since George Washington. And I say, God bless him. Okay, my friends, I'm up for a break. I'll be right back.
In what ways does the Trump presidency connect with end-time Bible prophecy? Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will ancient Babylon be rebuilt? Will Israel rebuild their temple in Jerusalem? Who is the Antichrist? When will the rapture occur? Dr. Scheidbach is a renowned expert on these and virtually all other questions regarding Bible prophecy, and his answers are 100% supported by the Scripture of Truth. To register for this course, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Get ready for your brain massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singly, the enemy is on the march. Enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Christmas is coming and a new year is upon us. And I hope you will visit us during at least one of our Christmas services that begin this Sunday, December 16. And each service following will be dedicated to Christmas through Wednesday, December 26th. Hi, I really enjoy our time together on the radio and through my podcast outreach. And I'm looking forward to a great new year. This season conjures images of family and friends, special church services, a lot of happy memories. And I trust you are enjoying the season as we wrap up another year. Christmas is a distinctly Christian holiday, as Hanukkah is distinctly Jewish, and so on. And frankly, that is the reason, by the way, that so many object to it. Some in our culture today want to erase every footprint Christ left on our culture. The danger is that those footprints mark the path to joy and prosperity, and more importantly, to justice and righteous judgment, which are the only sure supports of freedom. Indeed, his footsteps in our culture trace the path to the biblical concept of the separation of powers, by the way. I mean, the idea that no man is king over men except God, that we are, quote, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, end quote. And that's in our Declaration of Independence, which is the founding document of this nation. And, you know, the Constitution rests upon that declaration as its foundation. If that simple but profound declaration is abandoned, our constitutional republic will fall. And if it falls, the only thing left is divine providential judgment, a sort of cosmic correction by the Creator kind of thing, which, check your history, that's what happens. Jesus came as the Christ of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to show us the way to peace, prosperity, the abundant life, to proclaim liberty for all. And now look at the people who join in the chorus of those who object to the influence of Christianity upon our culture, and listen to what they are saying now. For example, California Congressman Ted Lieu, speaking with a CNN reporter, said, quote, "I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. The First Amendment prevents me from doing so. That's simply a function of the First Amendment," end quote. You gotta be kidding me. Now, in fairness, let's read the rest of the quote. He went on, quote, "I would urge the private sector companies to regulate them better themselves." Talk about this fake news issue. You know, if you want to get rid of fake news, you're going to have to eliminate CNN, MSNBC. But anyway, he said, "I would urge the private sector companies to regulate them better themselves, but I believe it's something the government can't do," end quote. Now, friend, no one with sense would attempt to use even the full quotation to mitigate against the horror raised in the heart of any reasonable patriot in reaction to this man's confession of his own beliefs. Oh, my soul, this is a congressman of the United States of America? And he says, I would love to be able to regulate the content of speech. And then Google, you remember when they used to talk so much about being nothing more than a service providing a public forum for free speech, you know, we're just the town square and all that, remember? Well, they have deployed algorithms that target conservative speech while at the same time increasing the volume of liberal speech. They are constructing a search engine right now for the Chinese government that will facilitate China's ongoing suppression of free speech in China. And friend, that's not a rumor. This is open news. It's not some conspiracy theory. This is what Google is doing. They are creating a search engine that will facilitate China's ongoing oppression through suppression of free speech. Now, Google is going to make billions of bucks, you know, helping China keep the people in China oppressed. Now, what does that make you think of their sincerity when they say they're not trying to do that kind of thing here? Forget it. Does anyone with any sense believe Google would not do the same thing here? Does this not make it clear where Google is on this issue? They are not a champion of free speech. The liberals, the left in this country, the radical left, has been attacking the first 10 amendments for a long time. Those amendments called the Bill of Rights. It's been subtle and obscure and sometimes very nuanced, which is actually worse for us. It's better now that they've come more out in the open. Lefties are openly advocating for socialism today. They are openly declaring their opposition to our most fundamental rights. Our government is using the power invested in them to violate some of those most fundamental rights even now. One example is what they've done to Trump with this phony dossier and what they did to Flynn, too, by the way. Did you hear about that? Yeah, it turns out that report documenting the interview in which Flynn allegedly lied to the FBI, well, it's now in question. And a federal court has ordered Mueller to come clean on all this. Here's what happened. The report documenting the alleged lie was supposedly done in February before Comey was fired. But that report was reissued and dated for August after Comey was fired. Why? The one they used was the latter of the two. Without revealing it was a reissue of the earlier document? Huh. So the question is, did they alter the document? You see, the thing is that when that document was originally issued, the interrogators expressly testified that they saw and heard nothing that would indicate that Flynn was lying. So later they find a factual error. They call it, or did they plant one? Okay, that's the question right now. But they find a factual error. They call it a lie to the FBI when there was no intent to lie to him. It's just a factual error. And then they threaten to ruin his life unless he comes off with something they can use to get to Trump. That's what this is all about. So he admits to lying to the FBI in order to get a reduced sentence. These people are absolute creeps. These swamp creatures. They're destroying and corrupting justice in our country. And they're destroying the very supports of liberty. If we lose justice and judgment entirely, liberty's gone. So what's with the animus against Christianity anyway? Why do we allow our teachers to teach Buddhist meditations to our children, and at the same time then turn around and persecute our military chaplains and refuse to allow them to pray in Jesus' name? I mean, why does that name scare them? Earlier I asked, what is the number one complaint you will hear from non-Christians against Christians? Hypocrisy. Right? It's always about what hypocrites Christians are. If I were to guess how often I've heard someone tell me they have no respect for Christianity because of some hypocrites they've encountered, I mean, they won't go to church because of the hypocrites there, that kind of thing, it would easily get into the hundreds of occasions. Well, the same people who have written off Christianity or going to church because of the hypocrites they've encountered are perfectly comfortable in the Democratic Party, where hypocrisy is on virtual parade every single day. So it's not about hypocrisy. You'll find hypocrites in every bar you go to, in every group that you are a part of, even your own family. Don't give me this business about, I don't go to church because there are hypocrites there. Name any place you go to where there are no hypocrites. No one who espouses a set of ideals that fails to live up to those ideals consistently. Which is actually, by the way, a very human thing to do. Okay? It's kind of iffy whether you could really call that hypocrisy. If you want to really meet a hypocrite, sit down with Hillary or Obama or Pelosi or Schumer. These are people who have betrayed their ideals. Almost everything these liberals accuse conservatives of doing, they're doing it in spades. Now take, for example, the current case against Trump. Everything the left is accusing Trump for doing in this investigation of Russian collusion, they have done. What a red herring, what a ruse. Trump didn't, they did. That is a level of hypocrisy that, frankly, you really don't see very often in churches like ours. So don't give me the hypocrisy defense. It's not going to fly. The reason goes deeper. Jesus was born with the declaration, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And everybody loves that. But what they don't like is this, that he declared himself to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that places him above every other ruler in the world. I need to move toward my conclusion, but consider the resentment of Christ in Christmas. It's not about hypocrisy among Christians. Although, indeed, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, said the Apostle Paul. But the same who dismiss Christianity because of hypocrisy are yet comfortable to embrace others who are clearly guilty of the same. And so, I guess that makes them hypocrites as well, does it not? And of course it does. The strange resentment against Christianity can only be explained in one way. It's real. I mean, there really is a spirit of Christ in the world making the claim that Christ is Lord and that all men ultimately are his subjects. All are accountable to him. And that threatens the dictator who wants the state to control your life, you see. All are accountable to Christ and will one day bow their knee and confess he is Lord. You know, back in the days when this truth was virtually universally recognized and accepted in America, and it was, by the way, we became a great nation in the earth. Indeed, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And that's not pride talking. It's a simple matter of record. But we're losing that greatness and the power with it to do good. Consider the connection between Christmas and the greatness of our nation as a way to understand why it seems everyone who resents a Merry Christmas, they're also the people who are in the camp that want to bring America down. See, they want to change it fundamentally into something else than what it was originally when it was founded. The connection between Merry Christmas and a Merry, Prosperous, and Great America was something our founders understood. Listen to this from former President John Quincy Adams. Quote, "My hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Christ, and I cannot cavil or quibble away, that is, evade or object to, the whole tenor of his, speaking of Christ, Jesus, his conduct by which he sometimes positively asserted, and at others' countenances, his disciples in asserting that he was God." I'm continuing the quote. "The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Now, come on, wait for me. I'm getting to the point here. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. Just think about the early days and the rise of America. It's interesting, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, and may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till, listen to this, the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And in that he was quoting Isaiah 52, verse 10. And that was John Quincy Adams. Now, this from Samuel Adams. Quote, the name of the Lord, says the scripture, is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe. And he quotes Proverbs 18:10. Let us secure his favor, and he will lead us through the journey of this life and at length receive us to a better. I conceive we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the confusions promoting and speedily bringing in the holy and happy period when the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be everywhere established, and the people willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace, end quote. I don't have time to expand on the implications of that, but they're huge. Now, I'm aware that some disagree with the eschatology represented in that statement, and I've written to that in a work called God's War. You'll love it. You can get it online in our bookstore. But the sentiment is clear, isn't it? And something every Christian would agree with. Now, get this clear connection that he makes between Christmas and the rise of America to greatness. Listen to this. Quote, in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior. The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity, end quote. You see, my friends, it was different long ago. And it's that very thing expressed in those statements that the progressives today hate. And it's what provokes them to resent Christmas. Jesus came to show us the way. Christmas remembers with joyous celebration the great gift of God to mankind, and those who despise God, especially those who despise the rule of Christ in the world today, have a deep and sometimes irrational hatred of Christmas. That is, by the way, when Christmas is focused on Christ. We're not talking about Santa Claus, myths, and all that junk. Which, by the way, is only another way the enemy used to dilute the real significance of the season. So, with that, I say, Merry Christmas. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 805-314-2114. And then if you like to, go onto our website, brainmassage.net, and you'll see a place there to contact me, and you can use that to send me an email. I look forward to hearing from you. And by the way, if you want to help us out with a Christmas gift this year to further our cause through radio and through our podcast outreach, please make as generous a donation as you feel the Lord would have you to make. And the website is brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Want to reach a large, vibrant audience with information about your products and services who are eager to show their appreciation for supporting one of their favorite radio shows? The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your bottom line. Over the last 10 years, the Brain Massage Show has become a staple in our community with thousands who tune in every week. And now you can access this exciting audience with information about your goods and services. Call Janet Fisher at 503-9945. 503-9945.